This reading is from the second letter of Samuel in the 24th chapter. King David said to Joab and the leaders of the army who were with him, "Tour all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and register the people that I may know their number." Joab then reported to the king the number of the people registered. In Israel, 800,000 men fit for military service. In Judah, 500,000. Afterward, however, David regretted having numbered the people and said to the Lord, "I have sinned grievously in what I have done. But now, Lord, please forgive the guilt of your servant, for I have been very foolish." When David rose in the morning, the Lord had spoken to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I offer you three alternatives. Choose one of them, and I will inflict it on you." Gad then went out to David to inform him. And he asked, "Do you want 3 years' famine to come on your land, or to flee from your enemy for 3 months while he pursues you, or to have a 3 days' pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what I must reply to him who sent me." David answered Gad, "I'm in a very serious difficulty. Let us fall by the hand of God, for he is most merciful, but let me not fall by the hand of man." Thus David chose pestilence. Now it was the time of the wheat harvest, when the plague broke out among the people. The Lord sent a pestilence over Israel from morning until the time appointed, and 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. But when the angel stretched forth his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord regretted the calamity and said, said to the angel causing the destruction among the people, "Enough now, stay your hand." The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. When David saw the angel who was striking the people, he said to the Lord, "It is I who have sinned. It is I, the shepherd, who have done wrong. But these are sheep. What have they done? Punish me and my kindred."
Now the first reading is, one of these puzzling ones from the Old Testament. You know, what's this all about? We puzzle over a text like this. You know, a couple weeks ago we had text about the ban where God just orders every man, woman, and child killed in a certain region. All the Canaanite cities and all were to be utterly and completely destroyed. And there are a lot of different theories about texts like that I explored with you at that time. I mean, you know, for example, some argue that, well, God said no such thing. This is just Israel putting words into his mouth. But the only problem with that is then if that's true, then what other Old Testament text can we say really God never really said that, you know? So we have problems with texts like that. And there are other issues that are hard to understand. They're just simply hard to understand. Why does God act in this way? And why does he level so many people over seemingly, in this particular case today, over a seemingly small matter? And, well, I think it goes back to the Lord had warned through Samuel that that kings were forbidden and should not do three basic things. They should not multiply gold, they should not multiply land, and they should not multiply horses. And in other words, if you got a big central government, here's the threat: big taxes, lots of tax, large armies, large expensive armies, and the government owning too much land. Now all of these are, we see these things. These things happen, with a large centralized government like our own. You know, we have this struggle with high taxes, an expensive army, and lots of foreign campaigns and military expeditions, and then also we see that the government owns huge, huge, and increasingly large amounts of tracts of land. So God seems to have warned about this, that if there was a king, that kings were forbidden to do this, and yet David is now taking a census, and it's very clear the purpose of the census is so that he can enlarge his army and draft more men into the army. And God is angry with David for going against this commandment that he has given to kings. But then why level all these people with this plague? And again, we're left with this mystery. David has certainly sinned, But then again, why must the people suffer? And of course, there's also an issue of something called primary causality that's going on here. That very often in biblical times, when people suffered calamities, it was often attributed to God as a primary cause, and God is the primary cause of everything. We in the modern age are uncomfortable with this notion of primary causality, but the fact is, philosophically, theologically, everything that happens is somehow caused by God, because God holds everything together. We like to say, well, God has nothing to do with this. We like to get God off the hook. But in fact, God's involved somehow. Mysteriously, we can't always figure it out. So again, this text is certainly rooting the cause of this in God. All I can say is that we're left with something of a mystery, but I think a partial explanation comes down to this. What parents, for example, do affect their children, even though those children may be innocent. If parents squander their money, if parents break the law, do things that are irresponsible, certainly the children suffer. Are the children to blame? No, the children are not to blame, but they still suffer. In the church, if priests and bishops act badly, all the people suffer. We see the same with religious. We've seen that the people have suffered much from disobedient religious orders and so on, who have, especially in recent times, fallen away from the faith. I thank God we have sisters here today who are not among that number. But we've certainly seen that the faithful have much to suffer. When the leaders of any organization, including the church, which is not an organization, but even the body of Christ, but when the leaders act badly, the people suffer. It is not the people's fault, but the people still suffer. It's a hard lesson, and it is a but it's a lesson that requires great humility from us. And so we see that here we have David acting badly, and the people are going to suffer. And in the end, God relents on the punishment, but nevertheless, it is something which. It's a very hard lesson, and it's a lesson that simply requires from us great humility. There's a mystery to it. There's a part that doesn't seem fair. We want to throw up our hands and say, God, you're not acting fair here, and all that kind of stuff. But all I can say to you is, if you want God to be fair, watch out. You're headed right for hell. Because the fact is, if God were fair, that's where we're all going. We've all sinned mightily against God. As it is, we're counting on God to be merciful. And so again, all I can say here is that a text like this requires of us great humility. And there are some explanations, there are some things that we can say, but in the end, we're still kind of left with this. Why did 70,000 people have to die for a dumb decision David made? I don't know. But why do people today suffer from dumb decisions of our government? Why do people suffer today from dumb decisions of priests and religious and bishops? Why? I don't know. They do. And it doesn't seem fair, but it's just the way things are. So, again, we simply ponder a text like this, and we have humility. We come before God. We say we don't understand every part of it, but, Lord, we're counting on your mercy. And I better be careful, Lord, before I shout, it's not fair, because I know, Lord, that if you really were fair, I'd be in serious trouble right now. And so, Lord, have mercy. Amen.